You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support oneofus.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be one of us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. Daniel isn't real. Which Daniel? Are we talking about Daniel Radcliffe?
No, he's
Daniel
still around. Day-Lewis? He's still lingering about.
Oh, you can't prove Daniel Day-Lewis is still lingering, though. He's probably making shoes somewhere in some little hut somewhere.
He's making me a new table, actually. I need to call him about
is he?
That.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's kind of cool. Yeah. It's going to be worth something. No, we are talking about a horror film from Spectrevision, which is definitely turning into one of the more interesting sort of underground art horror... tertiary art horror, I would call them, because they also do some stuff that's a little more broad, but like interesting new horror companies that's led by Elijah Wood and his partner. Mm-hmm. This is a psychological horror film, certainly in a more of a sort of like mid-80s sort of vein, I would say.
I'd say like this is kind of Videodrome-ish. This is certainly very much in the vein of like Jacob's Ladder at times.
Oh, certainly. Gosh, there's direct Jacob's Ladder references going on here.
And very appropriate since, Tim Robbins' son is the lead in this
film. Miles Robbins, which I didn't realize at first. In fact, the secondary lead is Patrick Schwarzenegger.
I know. Well, Miles Robbins has his mother's eyes, to be fair. So.
Does he? Okay, fair. I didn't catch that directly. That's kind of gross. What is she doing for eyes now?
She's getting by. She's doing voice work.
Fair. So the story here is that Miles Robbins, when we first meet him, is not Miles Robbins. He's Griffin Robert Faulkner playing Luke as a little kid. Mm. And his mother is kind of...
She's having a rough time.
She's having a rough time. She's getting divorced. It's Mary Stuart Masterson, by the way. I don't remember the last time I saw her in anything.
SVU stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Some Kind of Wonderful, baby. Come on. That's still one of my favorite John Hughes.
No, was that one that, she was in that was really, well, Fried Green Tomatoes I love, but that one with Robert Downey Jr. and Sybil Shepherd.
Chances Are.
Oh my God. I love Chances
that
Are.
That is a really fun movie. Benny and June.
Radiolab Murders, that George Lucas produced thing.
But we haven't seen her anything in a while. And she's playing mom. We meet. She's obviously kind of like everything is kind of helter skelter. The son is looking for any sort of connection he can find. And one day, his imaginary friend pops up, played here by young Nathan Reed. Mm. And they're like, oh, it's charming. The mom's like, oh, it's charming. He's got an imaginary friend. It's kind of
like,
adorable.
I'm going through a divorce. I need my wine. Yeah, you just go off with your little friend.
They're sword fighting with brooms that are coming, turning into swords in their imaginations. And it's all just fine and charming until young Daniel, as it were, the Daniel who isn't real, says, hey, these pills of your mom's, if you give them all to her at once, she'll get superpowers. Great, I'll make her a blender drink. And mom drinks them and gets very ill and is like, what the hell? And they basically...
Like Daniel up in a dollhouse.
He's like, it wasn't me, it was Daniel. And so it's like, well, your grandmother's old dollhouse. We're gonna perform basically a ritual, a psychological ritual, if you will, to say, lock away this part of yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like to lock him in the dollhouse. Flash to many years later, Miles Robbins is college-aged, mm-hmm. now Luke, He's kind of an introvert. He's not really sure of his footing. His mom is gone crazy.
But she has her, she has like her, it's like one of those good days, bad days situations, yeah. You know, and like, as you hear her on the phone talking to him, like, oh, you don't have to come home if you don't want to. I just want to see you, blah, blah. And a typical mom calling, oh, okay. And I listened to that. I thought, oh, she's well put together. Goes home, and it's just basically like,
yeah, it's chaos.
Yeah.
The house is chaos, and she is clearly schizophrenic.
This New York brownstone, which they call their home. God.
And he's kind of worrying about, because schizophrenia is indeed something that often is genetically, like, your mom has it, your dad has it. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance you're going to get it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, to say get it seems like not, strictly speaking, the most accurate way of describing it. No. But regardless, there's definitely a
hereditary. It's inherent.
It seems to be something that passes through family lines. And he's worried about that. And gets doubly worried when he comes home to visit. And he starts, you know, just out of memories, fucking with the dollhouse. And suddenly, Daniel reappears. Only now he's full grown. Basically looks like Christian Bale from American Psycho. And acts like him.
Hairstyle and everything.
Yeah. Patrick Schwarzenegger is like, hey, I'm back. Remember me? Man, we are going to get you back on track. And right off the bat, he is a boon. He is, like, getting him laid. You know, he's like, oh, he's
telling him what to say, like, line by line, changing his life, you know.
With the beautiful Sasha Lane, who was in American Honey, played the lead in
Sasha
that.
Sasha Lane.
Yeah, who's an amazing actress.
That's right.
And then Hannah Marks, who, if you did not see the more recent television adaptation of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, she was so good playing Dirk Gently's sister in that show.
That's right. My best friend loved that show. He grieved when it was canceled.
I did too. It was really good. But, you know, the guy who wrote it is a dick, so fuck him. Max Landis.
Oh, it's Max Landis.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's a good writer, horrible human being.
Yeah.
But, so he's basically, like, tutoring him how to, like, get what he wants and, like, make himself, like, get his, achieve his dreams, hook up with a beautiful woman. And it's clear very early on that this is not something that this is just an imaginary friend, because he can literally stand behind someone who is reading from a book and read out loud what that person is about to say to him. And he knows what it is. So it's clearly there's something supernatural going on here. He is not an imaginary friend. He is something more. And it's not long before his intentions start to turn very dark, as it becomes clear that he can actually at will possess young Luke and act out some very libidinous, darkest, darker side of the id.
Some not type so nice type of stuff. But I think this movie does a really good job of, you know, I mean, you always do the whole, like, Jekyll and Hyde multiple personalities scenario about the dark side that's lurking within. I think this film illustrates it more, you know, better than I think most other films do. One of the reasons it does that is because, I don't know about you, but I felt that the Luke wasn't all that interesting unless Daniel was around.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that was kind of the point. Luke is kind of a blank slate in some ways. You know, he is a wallflower. He's not very interesting. It's Schwarzenegger, like, whether or not he's a supernatural creature at first, is the part of him that brings him to life.
But, you know, I also felt the same thing about Daniel himself. Like, by himself, he's not that interesting as a malevolent figure. It's the two of them, and when they're trying to coexist, or when they're battling each other, you know, those are, I mean, that's just dynamite.
And he's constantly around, like, as he says, he's never not here, and whispering, and not even whispering, just talking to his ear. Like, every scene with Luke sitting around somewhere, usually, like, looking really cool with sunglasses or something, and like very hip, is Patrick Schwarzenegger just waiting for his chance to either help or hurt the situation. And it does effectively, I think, manage to make that transfer between this is kind of fun watching him, like, turn from, like, a nobody into a hero, and then and finding himself, to this becoming super creepy. And I think one of the things that makes that work is it gets kind of Lovecraftian in the last act.
It really does. I think it pulled me out of it a little bit only when somebody else is exposed to Daniel's presence.
Yeah.
When
there's another character who is actually put in a position where they're able to see Daniel.
Yeah, and that took me out of it. But then I was quickly pulled back in because of the way just the two physically, literally absorb each other.
Yeah.
and just, you know, essentially just change, you know, swap souls and, you know, do this. It's like a dance with the devil in a lot of ways. And it becomes so, yeah, like you said, it's just so.
And it finds a way to take on its new sort of horror iconography, like creating imagery that's very distinctive to the character of Daniel here, or what he actually mm-hmm. is, that is very disturbing and unique looking.
And that can have happened without this budget, without the fact that it is an indie film. But yeah. I don't know if you're talking about this, but like the paintings is a great example of, I think, what you're talking about. When mm-hmm. he's just shown as, when, you know, Luke is drawn by, what's the character's name? That artist?
Cassie.
By Cassie, who's this, you know, artist.
Sasha Lane's character,
who he meets and, you know, starts to have feelings for, and she paints him, and there's this dark shadow that's representative of Daniel behind him. And he pops up and they use that method a couple times, and it's very effective. And this movie, because of its limited budget, and this is again to SpectreVision's, you know, power as a production company, they do so much with so little, and it's all the more frightening and, you know, striking because of it, I think.
Oh, yeah. They do so much with so little. I will say, if you're one of those people, this movie should have come with an epileptic seizure warning, because there is a lot of sequences with, like, super blinking lights that even me, where I don't have seizures, but I was like at points had to look away.
It's a little much. Like,
Jesus Christ. This is doing this a lot at points. And it's something I've never seen though done in the way they're doing it, to set up a sort of part of this world that Daniel lives in that mm-hmm. makes it very disturbing and off-putting and upsetting. That is very visually interesting.
Oh my God. It's almost like legend in a way, mm-hmm. you know, that like, or the world of Insidious, you know, where the devil lives.
Sort of, but with a different look to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's making the most out of a low budget way to do it. Like mm-hmm. that one did it with big empty black rooms and a fog machine. And this one does it with strobes.
Yeah.
and it works.
It does.
It's one of those like, wow, you found a really creative way with strobes and color, found a way to make this look definitely unearthly and creepy and upsetting. I think both the lead actors here are fine. I don't think either one of them is giving like a wildly standout performance or anything.
No, but I will say that I think that Robbins is the trickier role to pull off, especially in the last act mm-hmm. when he has to sort of make a turn. And you know what I'm talking about.
To
have to go from
spoilers, don't worry.
No spoilers, but to hit all those beats throughout the way, that's not the easiest trick in the book. And I gotta say, I liked him in Halloween. I thought he was fun in Halloween. I liked him in that the movie where those girls go to prom to lose their virginity. Blockers.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Blockers. Yeah, jeez. I knew he looked familiar, and I was trying to. I would not have remembered he was in either one of those films.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he is, like I said, kind of a wallflower type character in that. You have a hard time picturing him not playing that type of character. Mm-hmm. Whereas Patrick Schwarzenegger, exactly the opposite. Like, if they were going to do a remake of American Psycho, he is decidedly the person cast in that role right now.
Oh, without question.
I mean, he is that slimy, yuppie, like, we do things this way because we get what we want, and what we want is the only thing that's important.
Exactly.
And transferring that, the trick this movie almost but not completely pulls off is transferring that to sort of an ancient evil type of thing.
Yeah, it feels like that was sort of, that's where it kind of gets a little bit like murky and kind of, you know, like, oh, well, this is
you're almost
really...
there.
Yeah.
And I like all the iconography you're playing with. I like a lot of the ideas that you're playing. I like mm-hmm. the visuals that you're doing.
I love that they're
here.
Talking about mental illness in a way that they're not using it for horror effect. They're actually treating it in a very sensitive way.
Yeah.
I thought, and that's really the only aspect where I thought, yeah,
almost there,
yeah,
but not mm-hmm. quite. Didn't exactly. quite stick that landing,
yeah.
Which is unfortunate because it builds up quite well to a film where you are rooting for these characters. I think that, like, to some degree, the way it actually chooses to end is kind of a horror movie cop out of just like, well, we didn't want to deal with you know what I mean. That's part of what felt 80s about it. Like it almost felt like this was a film a big studio would have produced. It was just the setup to make more movies with this villain character.
It does. It's the same thing. I don't know how I would have ended this film.
Yeah, it really is that point where you're like, where are you going?
Where else can you? This is just going to be an endless spiral.
Well, they start a fight club.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Joe.
I can't believe no one makes that joke at any point during this movie.
No, I think, yeah. That would have been fun, though. I wonder if it would have taken us out, but fuck it, I would have enjoyed
it. The first rule of Daniel being real is you never talk about him being real.
Exactly.
But, yeah, let's go to final thoughts, Frank.
You know, this is another great stroke for SpectreVision.
Oh, yeah.
And this reminds me a lot. They produced that movie about 3 years ago called The Boy.
Yeah.
Not the
Hollywood.
Well, I like that one, too. Yeah. But yeah. Not to say, the other one that I like, with Rainn Wilson and David Morse, and where they really play with, like, what's the, a portrait of a child sociopath, psychopath. Yeah. And I that film was riveting and thrilling. And this one is, too, while also talking about another serious subject.
Yeah.
And it really tries to paint, like, you know, the questions about, like, you know, is this me? Is this going to affect me? You know, how sick am I? How much can I control this? And, you know, can we actually function without our dark side? And how well can we function without our dark side? And at the same time, this is also a very, very interesting visual film, too. Mm-hmm. It's I wouldn't call it suspenseful, although there are some, like, what the fuck moments. It's the director who I can't think of his name.
It is Adam Egypt Mortimer. I wish my middle name was Egypt. I'm glad my last name is not Mortimer, though.
But there's he clearly watched the scene in Beetlejuice where Gina Davis pulls her, like, you know, jaw apart and stretches it out a few too many times.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, because he utilizes something similar to that.
It works to great creepy effect.
Yeah. And this film knows how to do that. This one knows how to creep you out without having, you know, the bucks to do it. And like I said, it's another great stroke for SpectreVision. I can't wait to see, you know, Color Out of Space.
I know. We'll be reviewing that soon.
Yeah. But this is good. I've been following this movie for a while. It was what I was hoping it would be. It doesn't, you know, it's not 100% coming together, like Chris said. But, you know, this is one of those little gems that you expect to find on VOD. And you're so happy that VOD exists for movies like this.
And it's a film that I'm sure is going to go to Shudder and be a big hit for people who like Shudder. I mean, it's one of those movies you're like, this was a pleasant little surprise.
Yeah, rightfully so. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 break-ins to a bookstore.
Yeah, I think we're largely on the same page here. I don't think maybe it explores the the being afraid of schizophrenia thing quite as in depth as I feel like you're leading to. I think it's almost more of a it's almost more of a sideline or a red herring. Really.
Well, it's not using it either.
I mean, it's more of a red herring, like thinking, well, what if he's just crazy and he's having to deal with this crazy part of himself? And it's very clear super early
Daniel's
on that
Daniel's mother
he's not.
Should have come out in a scene with Mary Stuart Masterson.
And there's a little sideline with, like, oh, well, maybe he's not the first person who's experienced this. It doesn't really lead to anything big as you think it's going to in a way that felt like there's got to be deleted scenes from this, right? It feels like there's deleted scenes in this movie. But overall, this is a really original little film where it may seem familiar on the outside. It does find a lot of new things to do. It creates a very iconic new horror villain that, honestly, if they made a sequel to this, I would be interested in seeing it. I think he's way interesting enough of a villain to see him return and what happens next and add on to the mythology. So that last third, when they start getting into Lovecraftian stuff, they don't sell the transfer point perfectly, but they don't totally not sell it either.
Yeah.
But the stuff they're doing once you're there is like, wow, this is super cool, and I like this a lot. But like I said, imperfect but perfectly entertaining. I'm gonna give it 7.5 out of 10. Really greater college parties than I ever got invited to.
No shit, man.
Man, why didn't I get invited to those parties? You're just like half hour in, you're just making out with the hottest chick at the party on the couch. I don't know what was happening.
I was doing homework.
Such a nerd.